Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 436, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Sony's seventh attempt at a Spider-Man movie?
At a version of a Spider-Man movie?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I guess before we go down that road, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Also, quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure and rate, review, subscribe. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. And, of course, our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. So there. Let's dig in, shall we?
So, let's give a little background on this. So, we had the three Sam Raimi movies.
Heard of them.
Right. Then we had Venom.
Sadly.
Excuse me, we have Columbia Pictures 1977, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Tune in on Patreon for that episode.
That was a fun one, holy, I'll tell you that.
The TV show? Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, dude.
That's what I said. I said exactly what you're going to say.
You don't know how good you got.
We had a whole discussion about how it's of its time. People were clamoring for content. Like, we totally went into that. We're like, thank God we're alive now.
That's what we got.
That predates Superman.
And we were damn glad to get
right.
it.
You liked it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got the three Spider-Man movies. You've got Venom.
Got Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Amazing. Oh, God, I always forget about those. And then you have this. And, you know, Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2 are probably the best, were the best out of the Sony stuff. And it's interesting that they have...
Well, Spider-Man Homecoming is still Sony.
I don't consider that a Sony movie.
Yeah, it is. It's still Sony.
It was released by them.
Yeah, yeah
it was not produced by them.
No, that's an MCU movie.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it has taken these companies this long to enter the superhero genre into the animation world.
Yeah, because it seems like it's the obvious choice.
It's the obvious
choice.
Well,
DC's been doing it for...
Yeah, but not
theatrically.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I mean, but like the Dark Knight Returns.
Nope.
Oh. They did Fathom Event for their releases.
That's not the same. I don't consider that a theatrical release.
The only one that was Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
That was theatrical.
Sure.
And that's amazing.
Saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters.
Do you hear the story about Mark Hamill?
No.
So no one went to see that movie because it was a Batman cartoon. So it made no money in theaters. So on Christmas, Mark Hamill took his family to a theater and there was one other family in there. So Mark Hamill and his family go and sit next to these other people and are just like hanging out with them.
That's funny.
It's awesome. They made friends. So these people got to hang out with Mark Hamill on
the
Christmas.
The Joker, the Hobgoblin, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know,
just cool
story. Mark Hamill.
Corvette summer.
Sure. That's a... Yep.
Star Wars Christmas special, holiday special.
David and the pilot of Eight is Enough.
Yep. And Luke Skywalker. So just to give the background on this character briefly, Miles Morales was an invention of Sara Pacelli and Brian Bendis for an alternate timeline comic book called Ultimate Spider-Man. It was a way to do Spider-Man stories without having to deal with Peter Parker. Peter Parker was in the Ultimate Universe. If you've never read the original Ultimate Spider-Man run, please go do that.
So good.
Like, it's
Brian Michael Bendis.
You can pick them up on digital every once in a while. If you keep an eye out, they'll put them on sale on Kindle for the trade paperback collections.
Right.
But I guess they're not trade paperbacks because it's a
collections.
Kindle. But for like $5.
Yeah, and they're worth, if you don't know much about Spider-Man and you're looking to get into Spider-Man, that is where you should start, because you don't have 75 years of lore.
Although they put those on sale too.
They do.
I've picked up all of those Marvel like Masterwork collections for $5 each. I've got the first hundred and fifty issues in 8 to 10 issue chunks for $5
it's
each.
It's a deal. It's wonderful when they do that. But
also Marvel Unlimited. I've had Marvel Unlimited since it started.
Five
and they
bucks
have
a month
such
or
a back.
Something?
Yeah, it's like
it's everything, isn't it? Or damn near.
There's not super new stuff, but you can go back and get beautiful digital copies of almost everything and all the stuff that would be super hard to find. And I mean, I've subscribed since the beginning of that. It's such a great service. I mean, it's like Netflix for Marvel comic books.
Comixology is the same way. Yeah. For $5.
Well, now they kind of copied off of them, and
that's what
I have. But now they throw in DC stuff.
They do.
You don't get as much Marvel as Marvel Unlimited.
No.
Like, they don't have the whole catalog, but you get the nice mixture.
They give you the first two trades, and then you could buy it.
Right. Yeah. So Marvel Unlimited is awesome, because you go back and you could literally read thousands of Spider-Man.
They're
comics.
Like drug dealers.
They basically are.
Hey, the first one's free.
Yeah. You like that Frank Miller Daredevil? Here's your first one. Oh, by the way, here's the second, third, and fourth.
You watch that
volume.
Season 3?
No.
Oh, it's good.
I know. I just haven't time.
So good.
I know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, because it's canceled. So I have all the time in the world to catch up with it.
It's not going to pile up on you, that's for sure.
So they created this character. He's bitten by basically it's the same story, but
can we just say I love how they tell origin stories in this movie.
I think it's fantastic.
How they go back in the comic books and tell each quick, and they get quicker as they go on. They're like, this movie is
amazing. Well, I
love
the fact that this movie is an origin story, but it never felt like one.
Right.
Yeah. Normally the origin stories get so bogged down in their own origin.
Sure. Yeah.
They get so bought that you end up not seeing the hero be the hero until
the very end.
An hour and 15 minutes into the movie.
Right.
And this one tells the origin story, but it never makes you feel like you're waiting for it to start in the same way.
It just has it, and the origin is just a quick little scene you're already invested in these characters and what they're doing, and then all of a sudden, oh hey, there's a big spider there as well.
So what this movie is the multiverse of Spider-Man characters. We know that I told Tom this. What's interesting about this movie is they never touch the original Spider-Man. Like the Peter Parker, we have two versions of Peter Parker in this movie. They're close. They're close to the 6-1, the Marvel, never mind. That's a whole nother podcast about the 616 and things like that. The 616 is the Marvel universe. Like that's what they call it. So,
and it's called that. Why?
I never know why. I've never known why.
Why they call it 616?
Uh-uh.
Okay. I don't know. I thought you would know.
No, I have no idea.
I felt dumb for not knowing, so I was like, I'm going to act like I know, but let Joe explain it.
No.
And I don't know. So
I don't know. That's what they've always just called it, and I just accepted it. There's never been any reason behind the 616?
The 616 is an established main universe where the majority of Marvel books take place. In the fictional Marvel universe, Earth 616, or Earth 6-16, is the name used to identify the primary continuity in which Marvel titles take place. You just told me that.
Yeah.
Explain it.
That's what it is. That's just the number. So, that's just the primary number that so all of the other
there has to be a reason, but we'll
call it 212 because it's New York.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So this movie...
The term was first used in Rough Justice, a story credited to both Alan Moore and Alan Davis, published in July 83 by Marvel UK in the anthology comic The Daredevils. Saturn uses the term to differentiate Brian Braddock, the Captain Britain of the regular Marvel Universe.
Top five Marvel characters of all time for Joe.
From the other members of the Captain Britain Corps, each inhabit in different universes. The designation was later used by American branch of Marvel in the Excalibur title, which frequently referenced Captain Britain's early UK published adventures. The comic was written by Chris Claremont, who created Captain Britain, and penciled by Alan Davis, the artist. Alan Moore is usually credited with creating the term. However, Alan Davis has stated the designation of Earth 616 was actually first made by David Thorpe, the previous writer of the UK published Captain Britain.
Can I tell you that Alan Davis is a wonderful artist, but he refuses to update his models. Mm-hmm. So, like, everything looks like it's in the 70s all the time.
So they still haven't,
they still
told,
haven't
us
told us how.
Why
these people coined it, but they have...
Look, if Alan Moore coined it, you'll never know. Yeah. You'll never know why.
Yeah. That's so, listeners,
so anyway, so all of these, like, this movie is going to bring about a bunch of different versions of Spider-Man. You've seen in the credits, we've got Miles Morales, who is the main character of this one. You've got... two Peter Parkers. You've got Gwen Stacy and Spider-Man Noir.
I will also point out that this was by far the most diverse comic book screening I have ever been to.
Big time.
It's, which I found fascinating.
It's Brett Bendis, again, I mean, Bendis is a very smart writer, but he also, in his personal life, has a mixed family. Like, he's adopted African-American kids as his kids.
Right.
So I have a feeling as he's writing Spider-Man, obviously the advantage that Spider-Man has over Batman or Superman is you can picture yourself behind the mask.
Right.
You know, like, Superman doesn't wear a mask and it's, you know, he's a white dude. Batman,
right,
you can see his face. But with Spider-Man, it can be anybody under that mask. So what he was really smart about is he made Miles Morales, I think his dad's African-American and his mom is
Hispanic.
Like,
of some kind.
Yeah. So you just have a different version of Spider-Man, and it's a version of Spider-Man that is appealing to other kids.
Yeah.
You know, much like Black Panther.
I was going to say they really Black Panther this one. They're smart because they're going to get the African American demographic, but they're also going to get everyone else to love Spider-Man.
Well, you're going to get girls.
So,
like, girls.
Well, right.
I mean
right.
Spider-Gwen, I don't think you understand as soon as that character was introduced, she became the new Deadpool. Like, she was everywhere, and she blew up.
Yeah.
Even as much as, like, her first appearance skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. In the comics, and the fact that they added her in here is brilliant.
They have something for everybody in this movie, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really cool what they did, but especially Miles Morales, because he's such a relatable character.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for anybody, for kids.
The problem they may run into is that the MCU version of Peter Parker is very much Miles Morales. Like, there's a lot of Miles Morales in that version, down to the suit. Like, if you've seen the suit from the new movie, it's the Miles Morales suit. Like, the, you know, it's basically the exact same suit. Peter going away to the, like, living with, the character that his best friend, what was his best friend's name?
Oh, geez. You got me there.
Yeah.
Can't think of it.
Ned is basically the exact same character that is Miles Morales's best friend, Ganke, the Ultimate Universe. So, like, there's a lot, like, they incorporated both of those characters together.
Gotcha.
So
this was a great move, though. It is the most diverse. I mean, the cast is diverse. It's going to appeal to a wide audience, and it's just very relatable character. You know, for kids are going to be able to relate to this, but I think it's cool that, especially for the minorities, you know, that they're going to see a hero up on the big screen, like with Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're going to see this Spider-Man is not just your typical Peter Parker that we've seen for
decades. If you want that Peter Parker,
he still exists.
He's still there.
And, you know, some people get upset about that, like, when they have these different Spider-Mans and, like, well, it's got to be a Black Spider-Man or a Hispanic Spider-Man. Like, you know, and I think people, especially when it comes to Spider-Man, right, white people, really discount the impact of representation, you know, on a screen of never seeing a version of yourself be the hero. And I think if you have any doubt of that impact, look no further than Peter Parker.
Sure.
The reason Spider-Man is tapped into the cultural zeitgeist in the way that it did was because Stan Lee wrote a story for nerds about a nerd, and about a nerd who gets to be the hero, who gets, it was the first time and it was white nerds,
yeah,
you know, but it was the first time those people, us people, had representation.
Sure.
Where it wasn't the big, strong, strapping, good-looking, football-playing, all-American jock type. That guy was a dick, and it's really the first time, if maybe it's not the first, but it's certainly one of the first, very early. Where that guy, all-American football-playing quarterback who gets the cheerleader, is a douchebag.
Yeah. And he's a douchebag to your hero.
And it's the first time you really see that, and there were a whole group of people that had been seeing that for years in their real life, but never in a book, in a movie, in a TV show, and that's why that character exploded and still resonates to this day. So when people will say things like, well, it should matter, it's like, but it does matter.
It does matter.
And it does, and you wouldn't love this character if it didn't matter.
Right.
It's just this version doesn't matter to you.
And that's the thing that is insane to me, is like these people who, the Comicsgate people, where it's just like, I'm sick of diversity, and I don't want my heroes to be women, and I don't, like, Thor
it's
needs
crazy.
To be Thor. So here's what I say about that. The characters that you love, right, because it's mostly in the Marvel Universe, DC tried to do it, and they were doing a very good job of it, and then DC kind of has their own mess, where Marvel is pretty smart, where they give you Sam Wilson as Captain America, or Jane Foster as Thor, or Miles Morales as Spider-Man. Like, they have these characters that the name means more than what the costume is.
Right.
But if you want to read the Sam Wilson, if you don't want to read Sam Wilson as Captain America, that's fine.
Yeah.
Go get the Steve Rogers book.
Yeah, nobody set those on fire.
Well, it's not even that. They're making them at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't even go away.
No,
yeah.
there was an unworthy Thor, which was the Thor that you recognize, and then there was the Mighty Thor, both written by the same guy, two different artists, two different books. Go read the unworthy Thor. You know, like, these characters aren't going, these characters are multi-billion dollar properties. They're not going to get rid of Steve Rogers.
Right.
They're not going to get rid of Tony Stark, Peter Parker, Bruce Banner. Those characters are never going anywhere.
Right.
They may change them, but that doesn't mean you can't go back and read the stuff that still exists.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's
That's
true.
The thing. It's like, diversity is a good thing.
But look at the world around us. We live in a diverse world.
Absolutely.
So I don't get why
do.
People are so against
But
seeing...
it's also just like, why wouldn't you want to see, you can only tell a Thor story so many times. And when you change Thor into a woman,
you get a totally different story.
Different story,
right.
Totally different problems. You have a whole new range of things you can do in a book. So it doesn't make any sense to me that you just want to see, you comic fans just bitch and moan about, we want something new, we want something different. And Marvel says, okay,
yeah,
here's the Black Captain America. Well, I don't like it. Here's Captain America in a weird, you know, dimension. I don't like it.
It sucks, and I think a lot of it comes from, like, what Tom said, where you've got this character that, you know, makes you feel accepted, and you finally see yourself, and then the people are just so rabidly protective of it, and
right.
they just won't let go, and it's like they don't realize that it's time for someone else to have that, too, and that's what this movie does. Miles Morales, what a great role model for people of color, and you have the not only the Black but Hispanic that's smart to make it mixed,
mm-hmm.
and so both of those communities can see, you know,
and
to have a hero.
And Bendis loves that paycheck.
Yeah.
And he's at DC now, so he's not even at Marvel anymore.
Oh, that's
like,
he jumped to
DC
over.
And he's writing Superman.
Yeah. But I think this story is great. I loved seeing a fresh take on the Spider-Man character. And like we all said, there's still plenty of Peter Parkers out there for you to enjoy.
We just named like seven movies with Peter Parker in it.
But even in this movie, I mean, you still have Peter Parkers
to
enjoy.
Yeah, you have two Peter Parkers. So this one starts with Miles Morales, and he's...
So is this not the 616? Is Miles Morales is in a different universe?
Well, okay.
Is Peter B. Parker 616?
There is no 616 Parker in this movie. That's the hook.
That's what I'm confused about, because I'm like, so which one bites the dust? Spoilers.
So
Miles Morales is Peter Parker.
Right.
Right.
So in the Ultimate Universe, in the comic books,
yeah,
Peter Parker the real Peter Parker dies, yeah, and Miles Morales picks up the ball, mm-hmm, and runs with it. What is smart about this movie is there's so many different versions of Peter Parker that they never talk about the 616, yeah, Peter. So the Peter Parker that dies in this movie, spoilers, we'll get there, that dies in this movie was the Spider-Man from Miles Morales'
right,
Earth.
Which is not 616, because he's the alternate universe from our normal. So,
right.
Right.
So even the Jack, what's his name? Jack Johnson?
Jake Johnson. That's Peter B. Parker, and so that.
Well, Peter Benjamin Parker is the name of the 616. Like, that's Peter Parker's.
Well, so that's
name.
What I was wondering. So it's, is he our?
No.
Oh, because the Mary Jane problems
the Mary
wouldn't
Jane
be happening,
problems never
and
happened.
The okay.
They get like there's no.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because there's another universe where they get married and they have a kid. Like, there's Mayday Parker is Peter Parker, mm-hmm, and Mary Jane's daughter.
Okay.
So. In this world, Miles gets into this very elite school. It's the scene you get in the trailer that I think is absolutely hilarious, where Miles doesn't really want to go. Like, he is more connected to the Brooklyn public, yeah, school that he goes to rather than
he's comfortable
elite
with the streets. He's, you know, yeah, he knows people. He's, you know, he's walking to school and he sees him at the basketball court. And he's like, he's very familiar with the streets,
right,
but he's really smart and has good test scores and got into private school where he doesn't belong. He doesn't feel like he belongs.
Gifted
there.
Private school.
Yeah.
Where his dad is, you know, and it looks like he stays there during the week and comes home on the weekends.
Yeah. His dad's a cop and his mom's a nurse,
which is different from the comic books. Like, his dad, I don't think is a cop.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a private school. It's a charter.
That's
school.
What I mean. Like, yeah, for gifted kids.
Yeah. Well, and you have to, like, the
test
charter
in
schools are public schools, but, you know, oh, you don't, I mean, you don't test in.
Mine did.
You lottery in.
No. Oh.
Because they say he.
Well, okay,
but I thought he won the lottery in a, I thought that he was.
Well,
like,
they say a lottery, which isn't a contest.
The way my kid got into the gifted school is,
right,
she had to test and then she went into the lottery. So that's the way I interpreted this, is like, he tested in. And then he won the lottery, and then he was in.
That's kind of how I took it, but I don't know. Either way, he gets in. But isn't everyone? I took it as like everyone there was rich and snobby that went there.
Oh no, I took it as like it was just not a.
Normally,
I took it
a
as
charter
like a,
school has a lean to it, like it's about science and technology, or it's, mm-hmm, about art, or it's about,
right,
you know. So it's like, so you'll get kind of a personality, like. You know, if you go to an artistic school, then everybody thinks they're a great artist. And
okay.
They get kind of crappy about that. So I think that's what you were picking up,
okay,
on. It wasn't necessarily money.
I get it. Because I got this like snobbery.
I thought they're all smart.
Got it.
And
yeah.
They all think
so
they're the smartest,
okay,
in the room.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he gets in there and we see.
Bumps into Gwanda.
Gwanda, which. When we finally see her as Gwen, as Spider-Gwen, and I was like, oh man, that was awesome.
She is awesome.
She is great.
She's so cool.
And there's a reason that Sony is spinning her off.
Yeah.
Like, she's getting her own movie.
She
I
is
mean,
an
they
awesome
could spin off about eight movies from, yes, this.
Well, they're going to do.
But Spider-Gwen is so cool, and the way they handle her in this,
yeah,
movie.
I love the shaved head on the side.
That's really,
yeah,
cool from,
yeah,
this bump in, this incident.
Right.
So,
well, he hasn't been bitten yet.
Oh,
like
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. The second bump in.
Second,
sorry, the first,
yeah,
one's in the classroom. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's just kind of going through the motions, and he doesn't feel comfortable, and he's, you know, trying to.
I like how he got a 0%, and the teacher's like, so that means, and flips all the answers,
she's
you
like,
got a 100%.
She's like, statistically speaking, you realize that even a blind person, yeah, would guess and still get about half right.
The only way you can get a 0% is if you knew all the right answers,
right,
and chose
the
wrong.
And he's just kind
ones
of like, oh, man, I guess it means I can't be in the school. And I'm not good enough. And she was like, no.
Yeah.
So. He goes back to his dorm and he's just trying to write, you know, Great Expectations is this paper that he has to write. But at the same time, he has this relationship with his Uncle Aaron that is different. Like, his Uncle Aaron is definitely more accepting of his rebellious nature because he likes to paint and, you know, do like almost like graffiti art, and he's slapping, you know, there's the scene that we're talking about is where he's like slapping his tags on things. And his dad's like, oh, by the way, after school, you're going to get all of those off the thing. And it's a scene you see in the movies where Miles is going into school and the dad gets on like the mic, the PA system for the car, and he's like, you got to say it. And he was like, come on. Like, I loved that scene. It was very, very funny because like it just felt really real.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's totally the kind of thing I would do to my kids.
I would do that in a heartbeat all the time. So yeah, so Miles is kind of hanging out with his Uncle Aaron. His Uncle Aaron shows him like this abandoned subway tunnel, and he's like, yeah, dude, go. And it's just like a blank wall, and he allows Miles to just get all of that creativity out onto
this wall. He relates more to his uncle. His dad's a cop. His mom's always working, you know. But, you know,
his dad's very straight-laced.
Yeah, and Miles is dealing with stuff, you know, and his uncle understands that. Obviously, his uncle has made some questionable decisions.
Do you know who his uncle is in the MCU?
Who?
It's Donald Glover.
The Donald
Glover character that in the MCU is this character.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I got ice cream in the trunk.
Donald Glover even says he's like, my nephew lives like right around the corner. Totally. That's Miles. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but you know, so the uncle, he relates to his uncle, and so his uncle takes him to the subway and lets him do his artwork on the wall. Because he said he did some work there. He did some electrical work or something.
Sure. He did some work there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So as he's doing that, like he's, you know, that we see the
spider, the background.
There are so many Easter eggs in this movie.
Oh my God.
There are.
How about his cell phone?
Oh yeah.
The attendant.
Yeah. Sarah Pacelli.
Steve Ditko.
Right. Yeah, they're
like,
all there.
Like there. Yeah. You see so many people in the context of everyone's cell phone. Yeah,
exactly.
It's great.
And I think.
And there's posters on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. The spider is a reference to the genetically looking spider from Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, so real quick, so the spider that we see, this spider has a very, like, he flashes, like, between universes or something. Like, he has a very weird effect. And what is that? Is that in reference to a book, or
no,
did they do this?
In the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimate Peter Parker is bitten by a genetically engineered spider. In Miles is bitten by a spider from the same like Alchemex or Osborn Industries, but it had different properties. So that's why Miles has a couple different powers than Peter Parker.
But in this movie, he's getting
they never explain where
he's getting the like collateral damage of what Fisk is trying to do.
I don't think so because the collider hasn't gone off yet.
But he's in the lab where they're doing these experiments, so they've been creating the collider.
Yeah.
Right? So I took it as, I mean, they didn't just fire it up. Like, they've been working on it, and so I figure the spider was in that lab, and
I could see that.
It does
okay.
the jumping, like, so I didn't know if there was a book that did the same thing.
I do find it funny that they call it glitching.
Yeah.
That was a nice little, no, there's nothing in the books that are, but it's in the comic books, it's just another spider that Osborn had. We should also say that in the beginning of this movie, Chris Pine voices Peter Parker, and he lays out all of the Spider-Man mythos that we know.
Yeah.
You know, he talks, there's a scene of him stopping the train from Spider-Man 2. There's the upside down kiss, but it's reversed.
I love, like I said, the way that they introduce each Spider-Man character, they go with a comic issue and they like open up the comic book and they show you all these things. But yeah, in this universe, the upside down kiss is Mary Jane. Like, it is so funny. And I love how as they go, they get quicker and quicker with the origins. Like, all right, here we go. And it's just funny. This movie, and this is produced by Lord and Miller.
It's a shame they shot themselves in the foot with Solo.
I know.
There's your Spider-Man creative team.
Yeah.
They should have. This movie is a perfect Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that they will probably never work for Disney again.
They never say never.
But
I mean, yeah,
they capture Spider-Man.
This is Lord and Miller production here. Right. And look how great it is with the humor and everything.
Right.
And then we have this version of Solo we'll never see. And it's like, I just really want to see.
I don't know. I feel like the version of Solo that we got was really good.
No, I enjoy it. I'm so curious what it was like. I just feel like I love Lord and Miller and their sense of humor. I get that maybe it didn't work with Solo because
it
of that character.
It worked for Spider-Man.
But geez, it really does.
Yeah.
This movie's hilarious. I loved this movie.
I do
movie.
Love that they reference the ice cream pops. that I have bought more than once.
Oh, yeah. I love it. They show the melty, droopy
like,
looking.
Some of them not so good.
This movie is so self-referential and has, like you said, so many Easter eggs. There's Ramita Ramen.
Yep.
He passes by Ramita Ramen on us.
You get, I mean, Stan Lee, which, in my opinion, the best cameo he's ever had.
Really?
Like, oh, well, I mean, it's very timely.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it's Miles buying a Spider-Man costume, a dead Peter Parker talking to Stan Lee about, you know, was given where we are now with losing Stan a couple weeks ago. Yeah. His speech at this point is very life imitating.
It was nice. Yeah. I still like the one that was it Spider-Man 3 where he says, I guess one person can make a difference. That's one of my favorites as far as the line read, because it's just like after he died, you watch that and you're like, wow, what a difference. Yeah. You know,
what was that?
It was either 2 or 3. I want to say it was 3, but
I don't think it was 3.
No,
I don't know.
Okay.
If he was in
then it was maybe 2 then.
Yeah. So Miles is bit, and I do love this scene where he just like smashes it.
It's hilarious. Again, that's the humor part where it's like he gets bitten and usually
it like has this big giant build of like, what's this mean? What does it mean? Like
no music or anything. He's just like,
flicks it off
and it falls on the ground.
Right.
And,
and like, so
it curls up like when you do kill a spider.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
so he goes back to his dorm and
it's huge, by the way. If you saw a spider,
well, I don't like to brag, but
well, how would I know if that's what that's
that,
weird?
It's that big.
Well, yeah. Oh, okay. But that spider is like almost the size of his hand.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a big old spider.
If you saw a spider like that, I don't know that you would be like, oh, like
squish.
Whatever Earth this is, it has some big, like, this is Australia Earth, I guess.
Yeah, when I see a tiny spider, I'm like, ew.
Right, I know. So, I mean, the proportion of the spider to his hand is ridiculous, but.
Yeah, so he.
Very clear, I'm a giant pussy.
Yeah, just put it out there.
Yeah, like,
yeah, I don't want anybody to get any ideas or anything. So he goes home, he goes back to his dorm, and he's, like, I felt like he was sleeping for days, but I guess it was just that night.
I took it as like a full day.
Yeah, I guess it could have been, because his buddy, like, you see his roommate coming in and out working in his clothes.
He was asleep for like a full day,
And he goes back to class, and he's like, why am I, and this is where his spider sense kind of starts to kick in, and we go full comic book, where, like, you're getting thought bubbles, and you're
love
getting,
it.
Yeah.
It's, the art direction in this movie.
It's nothing I've ever seen
is
before.
It's incredible. Yeah. First of all, the way they made this movie look like a comic book.
Yeah.
The backgrounds all have little dots in them, you know, to make it
but
look like.
But a lot of times when they try to make a movie look like a comic book, it's painful.
Ang Lee's Hulk is
correct.
A prime example.
But this is incredible. And, you know, it is animated, so
it
that's
is.
Helpful.
It helps a lot.
The whole movie is so stylized
that it
really gets away with it in a way that movies typically don't.
Yeah, the stylized. Now, I would say the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon does a very good job of acting like a comic
book. That's 2D though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. But I mean, but they do the you know, comic book type tropes inside of the cartoon, and that's really cool and referential. But no, the look of this movie is beautiful, and one of the main designers is actually from St. Louis, and so
oh, really?
I think I'm going to be interviewing him.
Oh, nice.
And I'll get to ask him some questions. But I love the design of the world and the characters and everything, and then just like with the editing of this movie and the choices they made with thought bubbles and everything, it's really cool how they brought a comic book to life, but so organically in this world, like it never stood out as like, oh, that was a cheesy effect. Like it was cool.
No, it was very cool.
So when he's thinking, it's thought bubbles. And you hear him reading his thoughts, but they pop up.
Yeah. So he gets to school and he's just sweating profusely. And he runs into, it's Gwen, basically. Yeah. But, like, he can't figure, like, his hands, like, he's starting to develop his powers, and he can't, like, let go of things.
Like, yeah, he's, like, sticky.
Yeah, he's sticky. So he goes to, like, when his Uncle Aaron is talking to him earlier in the movie, he's like, you just put your hand on her shoulder, and you're just like, hey.
And he's just like,
thought
this was
work?
A really bad move for this day and age, though. This is one thing that made me feel a little uncomfortable. Well, he's just saying it's okay to just touch people. Especially,
it's her shoulder.
I mean, so do you think that's a general rule that you could follow? Just say,
touch people. Jumping ahead, he's also a villain.
That's fair.
Well, that's true if that's his advice. But I mean, but they're showing Miles Morales touching someone that he doesn't know very well. He's met her one time, and I thought this was out of place for 2018.
I think
it's a good movie, so maybe we're accepting it. But I thought that, and I love the movie, don't just touch people.
It's her shoulder, so I didn't.
Can people just touch people like that if it's just their shoulder?
I feel like the shoulder isn't as offensive as like the small of her back.
Yeah.
Or like her face.
It's not. It's all relative. But I'm just
I
saying.
I've
it
been in
me
crowds like at a concert or something where I like might put my hand on somebody's back just to be like, hey, I'm coming through.
Right,
like
or
I don't want to. You know,
well, sure, you got to tap people on the shoulder sometimes,
yeah.
But when you're, this is to hit on a woman.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess
to touch them without their consent, and
this is probably not a conversation yeah. that three dudes should have.
Yeah,
but to me, I feel like a shoulder. No, I don't find it as offensive.
Okay,
but I'm sure I will be told that it is.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I don't know where the line is.
I don't know where
because
the line
like
is.
I get what you're saying, Kevin, but I also like. If somebody comes up and just, especially like if it's a one and done,
right.
Like if somebody's like, hey, and then you do it again, absolutely no.
Sure.
But like if in this context, like I'm not super upset about it.
No.
And maybe I'm wrong not to be. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And it leads to a thing, you know, like he goes and like touches her. And as he's like pulling away, his hand gets stuck in her hair. Because he can't control his powers, and she has to have like this kick-ass haircut.
Maybe this is the lesson: don't touch people when you don't have their consent. Look what could happen.
A lot of teenagers can't control things, and
also true,
and then get sticky.
Yeah, that's also a very good point. So they have to like buzz cut the side of her head, and she has like this very fierce, kick-ass, cool haircut.
It's
now,
awesome.
Where she's got like the side.
I love
buzz.
That hairdo. Anyway, like, what's the in Game of Thrones? Marjorie, but in real life,
Natalie
like
Dormer.
When she has in Hunger yeah. Games with the shaved sides but the long hair,
yeah,
that is an awesome hairdo.
Because she's also,
I know, I'm like talking to Katie. I'm like, that's a really good hairdo. You know,
I'm
you
sure
check
Katie's
out that.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not doing that. But
we should say that it looks like your wife has probably grown her hair out for a very long time.
Yeah,
yeah. She's a punk. She's in a band and she's in the drummer. So she is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's how in her origin story they show real quick.
Do you know what the name of her band is?
I forget.
The Mary Janes.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you know who's in her band?
Who?
Felicia Hardy, Betty Brandt, and Mary Jane.
That's awesome.
They're all part of like the
same. Is Mary
band.
Jane the lead singer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, so he meets her and then like he's freaking out like because things are happening to him and he doesn't know what's happening. Does he go see his uncle and he's not there? That sound right?
You guys saw it yesterday. I saw it over a week ago.
Okay, so I think
you're really going to have to.
Either way, he sees, like, Spider-Man gets involved in a fight, and Miles kind of, his Spider-Sense goes off, and he starts to follow his Spider-Sense, and it leads him to this world's Peter Parker, who is engaged in a fight with this world's Harry Osborn. Mm. Norman Osborn, sorry, the Green Goblin. And this Green Goblin does
this
not look
Green
like...
This Green Goblin is crazy. He's
a
monster.
This is the ultimate version of
yeah,
Green.
It's like a goblin, but like a huge monster type thing.
That, in the Ultimate Comics, like Norman Osborn injects himself with so much goblin serum that he becomes like this massive thing.
Yeah, it was crazy. They actually have a little Funko Pop, which they make a small... Obviously, most Funko Pops are small. Then sometimes they do a large edition. I'm like, that would have been perfect for like the 90s. Inch Funko Pop because
cool.
The goblin's huge in this movie.
Right.
He looks like him, but he's just normal size in the
which
toy.
Again, like they're giving you these characters that you know, but
they're
not, but not versions you've seen. So
I love spins. I love alternate. You know, especially like I like the one-off books that are really cool.
I'm a nerd for multiverse and elsewhere.
I love
stories.
That because it's like
you
could
have ended that
it.
Sentence with "I'm a nerd." Yeah.
That's true.
But
that's
you get the characters you know, but you get a new spin. That's so cool. And like you said. One-offs or these other books, like they don't touch unless they go to other universes, but still they live on their own, so you get a new take,
right?
But it doesn't ruin the other one. It just
when they introduced the kingdom come version of Superman, I was like, I want more of this character, because I mean, like, he's not our Superman.
Yeah.
Like, he's broken,
like, more adventures. How did he get that way?
Yeah, well, we know how he got that way, but
well, yeah,
yeah, like that character
Zack Snyder.
Kind of. If you read Kingdom Come, it's not too far off. So Miles shows
Lois
up.
Lois dies, right? She gets killed by...
The Joker.
Yeah.
There's an awful scene with the Joker standing over everybody in the Daily Planet with like laughing gas, and Jimmy's watch is going off, and Superman gets there too late, and everybody's dead.
Yeah.
And then they... whatever.
Yeah,
go read Kingdom Come by Mark Waid and Alex Ross. It's fantastic. Yep. So Miles shows up. And
DC puts that stuff on sale all the time on Kindle. Yeah.
Alex,
totally worth it.
Alex Ross.
Alex Ross
is
one of the greatest.
Next level amazing.
He doesn't draw, he paints.
Paints them, yeah. It's crazy.
So Miles is there watching all of this happen. We see Norman Osborn. We see the Prowler, which is a very cool design. We see Tombstone, which
he looks a lot like Spawn.
He does look like a lot. Yes, you're not wrong. But he's purple instead of black and white and green. We see the Tombstone, which is one of my favorite Spider-Man characters that never gets used. So the fact that he was in this movie was fantastic. And the Kingpin, a very exaggerated Kingpin, very comic booky looking Kingpin.
Yeah.
So we find out that what the Kingpin is doing is he's trying to open this portal to other dimensions to bring another version of his wife and son back to life because they were killed in a car accident because of Fisk. And in typical villain fashion, Fisk was about to kill Spider-Man. His wife and son see him doing it. They run away. And so he blames Spider-Man for them being
killed. This is very similar, having just watched Daredevil, not to spoil things, but like it gets into some very interesting territory. They kind of take on this subject of Vanessa and like what the Kingpin does and her seeing him. There's just a cool take
in
Daredevil.
Isn't she a villain in Daredevil, though? Like, isn't she with...
She is with him. Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a different spin, but was interesting seeing that dynamic and then going to this one. I'm not saying what it is.
I think in the comics that she was also kind of a villain.
Okay.
I think.
So this is a more, in this universe, she's just a bystander.
His wife. Yeah. I think she knows what her husband is up to, but
doesn't
want to be involved. Mm. So during this fight, Peter and Miles run into each other. And they have this moment. And apparently when these spider characters interact with each other, they recognize...
Their spider sense goes off at each other, basically.
In a good way. Like, they're just like, oh, wait, we're on the same page.
But I just
here.
Noticed that it's like it's not a bad spider sense, but it's still what you see is their spider sense goes off.
Right, right.
They trigger each other.
Yeah. So this Peter Parker's like, you stay here. I'm going to go deal with this. So, and in the process... He dies. Like, Peter Parker is killed. This version of Peter Parker is killed. And I do like that when they take his mask off, he's blonde.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's Ben Reilly. And in my head, I'm like, nobody knows who Ben Reilly is. He was the weird clone. It doesn't matter. So it's revealed, you know, and the Kingpin kills him, like, on screen.
Boom. Granted, lifts his hands up and slams down on his chest.
And kills Peter Parker. Miles gets out of there and takes off. It's all over the news that Peter Parker has been killed.
Did you say he gave him the jump drive?
He gave him the jump drive.
So there's to shut down this collider. He has a spider jump drive that will shut the whole thing down. And so
his goober, which I thought, oh man,
explain
so
that
funny.
Again. Why did they call it a goober?
He's like,
it's his word for MacGuffin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's like there's always a thing.
There's always a one thing
that's gonna shut it down.
Okay. So they just made it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm like, what? I when I saw it, I'm like, why did they call it a goober again? Okay.
That's why they called
it just a funny word. Yeah.
So it's all over the news that Peter Parker has been that Peter Parker is revealed as Spider-Man.
This is the only thing I didn't like because of like Mary Jane going out and talking about Peter Parker and stuff. Like their family would be a target for all these bad guys.
Probably.
I don't think that was a very smart decision to.
But would they? I mean, you can never really truly guess what a crazy villain's going to do.
Well, that's why all superheroes don't.
But he's dead now.
Oh, I know, but I still think
if your goal is, you know, the goal to hurt the family is to get to whoever Spider-Man is, but now that Spider-Man isn't alive to
stop
watch them suffer, the appeal of hurting them.
He's put a lot of people in jail and ruined a lot.
We don't see any of those people. We see Kingpin, Prowler, Tombstone.
I'm just saying that, like, and again, you can never guess what a crazy villain's going to do, but just from a logic standpoint,
if Venom's in this movie,
want to hurt Mary Jane
because
it will hurt Peter Parker. But once Peter Parker's dead, the appeal of hurting Mary Jane has decreased precipitously.
I did have an issue in this movie when one character reveals themselves to another character and there's no reaction, but we'll get to that.
Gotcha. I'm just like, oh, why put them at? Because later on in the movie, they all get found at Aunt May's house. It's like, well, yeah, everyone knows.
But now they see that Spider-Man's alive. Peter Parker's there.
Right,
Spider-Man's there.
Yeah, but why do they know that he's there? Because they all revealed that. I mean, I think it was a dumb move.
No, because they say that Miles was followed.
Oh,
it's because Miles was followed.
That's true. He was followed, but they know who Spider-Man. Like, if they didn't, if he wasn't followed, they would figure out pretty quickly that the Spider-Man gang is hanging out. And they would check Aunt May's house. Like, that's obvious. I just think that's a dumb move. But and it's just a little thing where I was like, oh, why are you out in public like that? But.
So Miles goes to like a costume shop, and people are just buying Spider-Man costumes left and right. This is the Stan Lee cameo, where he gives him a really good pep talk. And he's like, if this doesn't fit, can I bring it back? He's like, it always fits. And then, of course, the camera pans to the side and it says no refunds, no returns. And I was like, that's pretty good. That's good. That's
and it's like joke. It's like a kid's costume. It's coming. It's like high waters. They're coming up on his, like, you know.
Yeah. He's like, I don't, you know, that's
the ties in the back. It's, very much funny. A kiddie.
Yeah.
This is like the Target.
Right.
Not the like Party City expensive costume. It's the Target rack costume.
It's just not an over the head mask. It's like just the front plastic mask. So he goes. Does he fight?
I think this one isn't over the top though, but it's like very loose fitting. Like,
oh, maybe you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
It is,
right.
But at Target it would be just a front mask. But this is a very just oddly fitting costume. So it's funny that he's
He has a run in with the Prowler, and in the process, this is a kick ass scene where the Prowler's chasing him. He doesn't glitch. Like, he has the ability to turn invisible. Mm-hmm. So he uses it, and he's just like, he realizes that
this is when Peter Parker dies, right? And the Kingpin says, go kill him. And the Prowler chases him through the sewers.
This is all. There's this whole scene, but he breaks the MacGuffin, mm-hmm. and he's just like, well, now what do I do?
I'm like, why were you swinging around with that in your pocket? Like, why were you practicing your skills?
No. He breaks it before then. He breaks it when older Peter Parker shows up mm-hmm. in the graveyard, that's when he breaks it.
Oh, he does in the graveyard?
I thought
it was later when... Okay.
Yeah, he breaks it then, and Peter's just like, we'll just make a new one. We'll just have to go steal a new one. And we, you know, this is where we get Gwen and everybody gets kind of started.
Is that right? Does he break the goober in the graveyard or break it when he's, like, practicing?
I feel like he breaks
Spider-Man
it when,
stuff.
He breaks it when he and other version of Peter are running away.
Yeah, I feel like it, like... Because it was like, I felt like it broke like in a fight or
it
something.
Did.
Like it wasn't, like he didn't do anything wrong.
Right. It was just in his pocket and it broke.
Okay.
Right.
I just remember being like, why was that in your pocket? I thought it was at a time where it was like, that shouldn't have been in your pocket when you were doing whatever. But
I remember it as it being like in a fight or something.
Okay.
And like he landed on it.
Right. That's what it is. He does land on it.
Yeah.
So he's in the graveyard. He's talking to, he's like, I don't know if I can do this. He's talking to Peter's tombstone. And then we see this shadowy figure coming up from behind him. And the other power that Miles has is called a Venom Blast. And it knocks the person out, you know, for an unspecified amount of time. And in the process of shocking this person, he gets hit with a web. And now he's stuck. And we find out that this is another version of Peter Parker who has showed up. And now Peter, who is unconscious at this point, Miles has to save this version of Peter and get out of there before the cops arrest him. So this is a very funny scene.
Yeah. This is the one that was in the extended trailer
for
behind
Venom.
Yeah.
We're just like, why would you show Venom?
After Venom, I'm like, oh my God, this is the best part of the movie. It's hilarious with him trying to run away with this Peter Parker attached to him. It's great.
So Peter comes to, they're sitting at this burger joint and, Peter, this version
is overweight. Depressed Peter.
Right. So what happens, he gives the same spiel, like, everything was great.
I'm Peter B. Parker.
Right. Everything was great. And then Mary Jane and I fell apart. We got divorced. She wanted kids. I didn't want kids. And, you know, this is where he's like eating a piece of pizza and he's put on a little weight.
His stomach sticks out or like at the bottom of the suit.
I love that the people keep referencing that he's a little bit thicker than normal.
Absolutely. It's great. He's eating his feelings.
And I do actually, I appreciate that the scene that we got in the trailer where he's just like, this scrumptious French fry is my universe. This weird little dumpy one is yours. Is that I don't remember that in the movie. They take it out, which I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much of this movie that you think they spoil in the trailer that they don't, which I, again, appreciate. Hmm. So they realize they have to go to Alchemex.
I will say it was a little jarring when watching the trailer, like with this jerk Peter Parker. But when you see the movie, you understand why he is the way he is, which makes it 1,000% better because I'm like, why is there this jerk? Like, why? You know, I just didn't like him, but I'm like, oh, he's been through some stuff.
He's got some stuff going
but
on.
But that's cool.
In his universe.
So they don't spoil that. They don't tell you in the trailer why he is the way he is.
Right.
And so I do really like that a lot more now.
Yeah. So they have to go to Alchem X, which
by
is.
By any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
No, that's Malcolm X.
Correct.
Sorry.
Not Alchem X.
Right.
Which is just like, it's just another version of weird biochemical company.
Yeah. So it's Oscorp basically in
basically,
this universe.
You know what? And it's interesting they don't call it Oscorp. I wonder if that's a Marvel thing where they're like, you can't use Oscorp. Like, we've got plans for Oscorp. Just call it something else. They're like,
but I don't know, because it's in a totally different.
So Alchem X is a thing in 2099.
Yeah.
So I was wondering when that character shows up. I was like, okay. Like, this is the...
I wouldn't think it'd be off limit. Because it's like, if you got Spider-Man, I wouldn't think...
There's no Venom.
I wouldn't think Osborn would be a stumbling block.
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially because it's a cartoon.
Right.
So no, and Sony's used Osborn in all their movies, so...
Some of them really well, some of them awful.
But I mean, it's been in all of them, so they have the rights to it.
Okay.
They didn't lose the rights to Osborn and keep everything else. So
yeah, that's true.
It's just a different...
That's not the thing that Marvel would double down on.
Right, that's what I was saying. Right. I'm like, of all the things that they would take back, I just...
I like it, though, because how many times have we seen Osborn in a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
Every
so
time.
It's like, this is great. This movie is a different universe, different Spider-Man, you know, your Miles Morales. I love that we're getting a different take. You're still getting a Spider-Man,
right,
and you're getting a lot of them, but the main character is still a Spider-Man, but we get all these different things, and it's very refreshing.
Well, especially because a lot of times they try to treat it like a reveal.
Right.
Like, oh, it's Osborn. And you'd be like, well, of course.
Of course it's Osborn.
Of course it's
Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Although I like the reveal.
It was great.
It was fantastic. When you find out
the reveal for her was great.
And I like that they use Kingpin as the villain, and especially because the popularity of Daredevil, they were smart because Kingpin's a great Spider-Man villain.
He is a great
but we've
Spider-Man
never
villain.
Seen him in the movies as a Spider-Man villain, but he's Spider-Man and Daredevil's villain.
Yeah,
so like,
right.
It was great to see Kingpin
in
a movie.
Equally in both worlds.
Yeah,
he's a street level. Like, the thing that people forget is that there are so many heroes based in New York. Like, you've got the Fantastic Four in Manhattan. You've got Spider-Man in Queens. You've got Daredevil in Hell's Kitchen. You've got Captain America kind of in Brooklyn. So, like, the fact that, like, all of these heroes are working out of the same, out of the five boroughs.
You can share a lot of the characters where it's when you're in Gotham, you're far away from Metropolis. You know, they're...
No, they're right across the bay, Kevin.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, you know, they put these lines in the sand where it's like, oh, this is happening in this city, and this is in Bloodhaven, and this is here. But it's like, you're in New York with these.
Now, wait a minute. Bloodhaven is literally right across the bay
from okay. you get my point. But they're like, this is happening over in Bloodhaven, but this is New York. So
right, yeah. It's across the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Miles.
That's Batman.
Oh, man.
I was watching that show with Ryan, you know, because I'm like, I don't really know. You've heard the words.
It's
and
terrible.
It's a TV show or whatever. And maybe I told this story, but he says that F Batman. And Ryan goes, why do you say F Batman? And I'm like, oh, he just means like, I don't need him. Screw him or whatever. But Ryan was like, why would you say that?
They did introduce Donna Troy. And that is more intriguing. Cause like that's my favorite that's my favorite team. Like in comics is that version of the Titans.
Oh, I don't know. I tried to watch Titans twice and I fell asleep both times. It was just not interesting.
So Kevin and I both share like with our friend Brian share the DC Universe app, like their streaming service. And I don't think I've watched any. Like I'm just like, oh, the animated Superman show. I'm just gonna watch that. I'll just watch that again.
I watched the Batman animated series on there before it came out. I'm like.
Yeah, I'll just watch that. I'm good. That's all right. Oh, they have the Swamp Thing movie on here? Yeah, I'm going to watch that instead. So he teams up with Peter. They go to Alchem X. And I thought this scene is like Lord and Miller have a brilliant take on like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like it's really hard to capture his sense of humor correctly. And I think that the MCU version did a really good job of it. But this is like, it's the Spider-Man that I've read since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like they don't miss a beat with his interactions with Miles, all of that stuff.
That's why I love Spectacular Spider-Man, because they take a lot of stuff from the Ultimate, which is Bendis.
Yeah, it's Bendis.
And the humor is exactly what you're loving about this one. And that Spectacular Spider-Man was an awesome series.
Yeah.
It is my
Let's
favorite.
Check that out.
Yeah.
I
think it's on Blu-ray and it's, you know,
really?
It's a really good HD looking show. So
I'll just give it a look. So they break in and they can't. This is a great scene where Peter is hacking into the computer, but now this woman, you know, comes back in, and he says Miles turns invisible and he has to remember like the password, and Miles can't remember it all. So finally they're just like, you know what, just take it. So they take the monitor and the hard drive.
And
out.
I love that they explain this, because me, you know, as a computer guy, I'm like, you don't need the monitor. Yeah. And I love that he goes, you don't need this.
Yeah, like, we just need this.
And that's
this
is, so smart. That's like, wow, someone actually is paying attention.
This is where we get the reveal of the female Dr. Octopus, which I thought was great.
Yes. Is this woman in any other Spider-Man? I thought there was another Spider-Man where there's a hippie looking.
There is a female Doc Ock, but she's a good guy.
Yeah. But wasn't there a movie where there was, am I like in Homecoming, or there's, I thought there was a teacher that was kind of like hippie looking and far out. Like,
I mean, the teacher in Homecoming is, the guy from freaking Silicon Valley.
Yeah, well, obviously not him, but yeah, I thought
Martin Starr.
This character looked familiar to me, but I guess maybe we haven't seen her before.
But yeah, but it's
she in the comics?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I'll figure it out. I just...
But yeah, so like you're starting to develop a rogues gallery. The best part about this movie is it starts off as a Miles Morales movie. In the middle part, you get the team. But at the end, it comes back to a Miles Morales movie.
Yeah.
Like, they don't focus on Peter Parker.
No, I mean, the whole thing, it really is a Miles Morales movie. They don't steal away.
And they kind of give you the great power and great responsibility when the blonde Spider-Man dies and Miles doesn't step in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he gets his Uncle Ben story without being like, it's Uncle, like, hello, Uncle Ben.
Right. So is Uncle Ben in... Oh, never mind. They don't really bring him up with Mary Jane or with Peter Parker in this universe.
We know that Peter, the Jake Johnson Peter Parker, Uncle Ben is dead.
Yeah.
And Aunt May is dead.
Yeah. But in this universe, though, they don't ever reference him. I don't know.
I have a feeling he's not there.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to me.
Well, definitely, yeah.
We talk about that on that 77 show, but, like, you got to have, Uncle Ben has to die.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things. Krypton has to explode. Bruce Wayne's parents have to die. Uncle Ben has to die. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't get Spider-Man. So they go and they steal the... He's teaching him how to swing, and they're doing everything. They get away. It's a great scene. They get jumped. They're going to lose. And then here comes Gwen Stacy as Spider-Gwen. And it's one of the coolest costumes. Like, I love that costume.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
It's great. So when this is the problem that I had. When she reveals herself to the new Peter Parker as Gwen Stacy... And he has no reaction to her whatsoever.
But do we know that happened to him?
I guess that's a good point.
Because maybe
Gwen Stacy
that too.
Doesn't
I'm
exist
like,
in his world.
Yeah, you're talking about Peter B. Parker?
Yeah.
We don't know him.
That's true.
Yeah.
To me, like that.
Because you think he should have been like, Gwen, like, of course
I
know.
Killed you.
Yeah. Yeah, because remember, this is not 616.
It's not 616.
You've already
so
said
that's
that.
Very
so
true.
This
that
is
very
whatever
true.
Universe he comes from. He's not going to have the same.
So we get the Gwen Stacy origin. Where she's
in his flashback, he doesn't go. And then I killed a girl. And then I backstory.
So she, you know, from this earth, she's bitten by a radioactive spider. Her best friend is Peter Parker, and what happens in the comics, at least, is that he is very jealous of the fact that Gwen got these powers and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So he injects himself with what he thinks is another version of it, and he becomes a lizard. And dies. Go read those books.
That sounds awesome. I've never read Spider-Woman?
Spider-Gwen.
It's just Spider. Because in this, she refers to herself as Spider-Woman.
She does.
So that got me confused. I'm like, why isn't she calling herself Spider-Gwen? Why is
because
she Spider?
Because Gwen's her name.
Oh, I know. I just, but she, well.
The comic book itself is called
Spider-Gwen.
I see
what you're saying. Yeah.
But it's
she's
great.
Spider-Woman in this movie.
Right.
Just to,
Which I think they're going to change. Because there is a Spider-Woman. Her name is Jessica
Drew.
Well,
right. That's what I'm saying. There is a Spider-Woman. So I was confused when she said, again, different universe.
If you like the way this movie looks very, very, very similar.
It looks like
to
Spider-
the art in Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen,
yeah.
Now, but so in the movie, though, Peter Parker dies.
Her version he's the reason
he's
she
Uncle
be,
Ben.
He's Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I liked. That's another cool twist where it's like they all have their Uncle Ben moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So they go, there's one place we can go. Where I think we can be okay. And they go to Queens. And I do love that this version of Peter Parker is like, I'm not ready for this.
Right.
Like, I can't do this. Yeah. And she's just like, we're already here. What are we going to do? Stand up front? So they ring the doorbell, and here comes Aunt May, played by Lily Tomlin, which we didn't realize until I was like, who was Lily Tomlin in this movie?
I love how Peter Parker rings doorbells.
Like, hits it with the web?
Yeah.
I did like that as well.
This is great. They see each other, but Aunt May realizes that it's
not her, Peter.
Yeah.
She's like, you're a little bit thicker around the midsection. He's like, yeah, I got it. Thank you. So this is, she goes, she's like, what do you think? You're the only ones that came here?
Yeah, it's great. When you see, I love the introduction to all these
different Spider-Man Noir, voiced by Nick Cage.
Oh, man, who's like, you know, an old-timey detective.
1932, he's a private eye.
The way he talks and his his little quips and everything are hilarious.
Yes, they're very 1930-ish.
I read a book recently that deals with multiple universes.
Yeah.
And it's a really good book. But
you can plug it.
Well, I don't know if I want to say the name of it because I'm kind of spoiling a plot point of
it. Oh, okay.
But they use a similar thing where this guy is trying to figure something out and then, like, trying to get back to the actual. And then all these different people descend on this exact same point, which you had never really thought about what happened. And it was like a real, because it was like, where are they going with this? Like, how's this gonna? And then it was just like, it was really cool. But it reminded me of that. And
that's
funny. It's like, well, of course this is gonna be Aunt May's gonna be kind of everybody's. Yeah,
I am. So I'm catching up on the CW shows, and I just got to the.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not. They're good. The Supergirl and Flash and all that stuff. That's good stuff.
Flash, yeah.
Supergirl's great.
All right, go ahead.
I just got to the Invasion crossover, where they're all of the.
I do want to watch just the crossovers.
Are my Invasion comic books going up in value?
No. Damn it!
No, but every year they do a crossover.
This year's looks ridiculous.
I want to see that. Arrow is going to become Flash. They're going to switch.
John Wesley's ship
is going to be the original Flash.
He's going to wear his old Flash costume from the show. But in this one, you know, Ray Palmer is played by Brandon Routh. So there's a scene where Brandon Routh and...
Is he going to be Superman?
Well, wait a minute. So there's this, in this Invasion crossover, he and Kara, Supergirl, cross paths.
Kara.
Okay. where he, like, she kind of walks away, and he was like, oh, man, that's so funny. She looks just like my cousin. And I'm just like... And then they both, like, he's talking to Felicity, and they both stop and, like, look at each other, and he was like, wait, am I...
And
then it cuts.
That's great.
Yeah, and I was like, well done.
That's really great.
They're going to Smallville, I'll tell you that, in that Elseworlds story. So in this one we meet Spider-Man Noir, voiced by Nick Cage, an anime Penny Parker.
Penny Parker. Yeah.
An anime version.
With her robot who is the soul of her dad who dies.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Is that a comic or is it
new? There is a mech version of that, but I don't remember seeing this.
Okay.
And then Spider-Man,
which I thought was really funny with the facial emotions of the robot, and I like it,
Big Hero 6.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And then Spider-Ham, which is voiced by John Mulaney.
Oh my god.
Who steals,
he's
like,
got the best voice.
As much as Gwen Stacy steals this movie, he is just as good.
Oh yeah, I mean, because he's not in as much of it, but when he's there, his voice lends so well to animated, because he's just got a great unique voice.
Right. So they realize that one of them, they've got the new jump drive, but one of them has to stay and deliver it. And the adult Peter Parker is like, yeah, I got it. But Miles is constantly saying, like, you can't, like, you will die if you do this. And he was
glitching the whole time from not being in their universe. Like,
right.
It's rejecting them.
So Miles is really the only one that could stay behind and deliver the final blow, if you will.
But is this where don't they get jumped because he led the bad guys?
No, he leaves, and they kind of stay behind. Oh no, maybe you're right.
But they all the bad guys followed him to here, right?
Yeah, because they ask if he was followed, and he said no. He's like, oh, maybe I was.
So they have a big fight scene,
big huge fight scene in the house, and Aunt May is like, "Can you please take this outside?"
Yeah, they're breaking all her stuff, and so there's these great zoom ins. This is the Lord and Miller humor where they're all fighting, doing this stuff, and they're zooming in on their faces and the fights. But Aunt May's perspective is all her stuff being broken. Right. It's great.
Yeah, it was very funny. And this is where they kind of realize that
he can't.
Miles isn't ready for this.
No.
Like all of these characters have been Spider-Man, you know, like. Our version of this Peter Parker is like, you know, 15 years, and Gwen Stacy's like 3 or 4 years, and Spider-Man, they all have time as Spider-Man, where Miles has had like a day.
Right.
Is this where they're talking in the spider cave and he turns invisible and leaves? because they're talking about him. He's not ready, and then he
yes,
and then he leaves and walks.
Yeah, he walks away.
Sad,
and he tries to go talk to his uncle Aaron, and this is where this is the big reveal is. Oh no, it's here.
Yeah,
it's at the house. That's right. Yeah, he's trying to get away from his uncle from the Prowler. And then Miles just kind of because
he's invisible at this point.
Right.
I mean, whenever he's in danger, he turns. He doesn't have control yet, but like his body is turning on invisibility.
Right.
And he hides, and you see the Prowler take a mask off. And
well, no, he takes his mask off. Like he picks it up immediately because he knows that his uncle is he saw his uncle in the apartment. Remember, like he goes to leave him that note.
Yeah.
And
I thought that's what we're talking about.
No, because the fight happens at Aunt May's house.
Yeah.
But there's another scene where Miles wearing the Spider-Man
costume. Oh, that happens before the fight?
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Where he goes to his uncle's apartment.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, that's what I was talking about. That scene, yeah.
He goes to his uncle's apartment. He's going to leave him this note. He's like, I got all this stuff going on. The Prowler comes into the apartment and takes the mask off. And this is the reveal that Aaron, his uncle, is the Prowler who was standing by when Kingpin killed Spider-Man. And this is where we get that great fight.
I love this conflict now that the Prowler has.
Right.
It's his nephew that they're both really close. And now it's like, what do you do? It's a really cool.
So in this fight at Aunt May's house, Miles knows who the Prowler is. And just as the Prowler is about to kill him, he takes his mask off and the Prowler is faced with a decision.
Right. Miles takes his mask off to show him. And now the Prowler's like, Miles? And because he's got him dead to rights.
Right. And he takes his mask off and the Kingpin.
And
he lets Miles go
and then
Kingpin shoots Aaron, the Prowler. So Miles grabs his uncle and he bolts and he takes off.
Oh, and this is so uncomfortable because then he takes him to safety and who shows up in
his
this alley?
The dad.
Now you've got Spider-Man standing over dead.
His dead uncle.
Yeah.
Or his dead,
the police.
The dead brother.
Dead brother, yeah.
So now there's an APB out for Spider-Man and.
And the dad, to be clear, already does not like Spider-Man.
No.
Because he's a vigilante.
He's doing the J. Jonah Jameson thing where he's just like, he's a menace and he thinks the rules don't apply to him. Mm-hmm.
So he already doesn't like him. Now he thinks he killed his brother.
Right.
So it's game on.
Game on. And Miles, again, is faced with a decision. Like, he's ready to go. He's back in his apartment. And then this is where all of this is that scene that we get in the trailer of them, all of them on like the roof of the ceiling of Miles' dorm room.
Oh, like, yeah.
where John Mulaney's like, do animals talk in this world? Cause I don't want to freak him out. And this is what they were doing is they're all coming to say goodbye because they know that Miles can't handle this. It's not going to work. Mm. And Peter is going to have to do this. And he's willing. And that's the thing about Spider-Man is as much as he's the hero, he has no problem sacrificing himself.
And also with all the stuff he's dealing with, he's kind of like, what do I have to live for anyway?
Right.
He's like, I'll just sacrifice myself. Nothing's going to get better for me.
Right.
It's a very sad moment.
It is a very sad moment.
To think about all the things he's going through. And he's like, I'll stay behind.
Right. So, and Miles is forced with a crisis of faith where he's like, I can't do this. Like I'm not, cause like there's the whole scene where Peter's like, cool. If you want to come with us, hit me with your Venom Blast right now.
Yeah.
And we'll go.
Yeah.
And he's like, do it right now. And he can't do it. He's like, turn invisible. Then you can just walk around me and he can't do it. Like he can't do any of those things on command.
So Peter,
he's like, you're going to do fine, but you're just not ready yet.
And he ties him to the chair with his webs.
Yeah. Which I thought was really good. Yeah. I like that too.
What if he like asphyxiated and now Peter's killed? I'm just saying, like, wouldn't that be terrible though?
I feel like this Spider-Man's aim is good enough that he wouldn't like clog up his nose as well.
I'm just like,
what if he's got a cold?
Yeah,
that's true.
That's like, wouldn't it be terrible? He's like, yeah, don't talk, and webs him up, and then they walk away, and he's like, I can't breathe.
Well, if that ever happens, what you do is you pull his pants down. You put his browser on RedTube.
It's like, this is what happened.
They'll just think it's a weird sex thing.
It was a weird sex thing.
Yeah.
Poor Miles. Never had a chance.
Yeah. Who knew? He was into the weird stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
Kids today.
Strange kids.
Yeah, that's why you got to have parental controls on things. You know?
That's true.
Funny interaction back in the dorm room earlier with the roommate, too.
Oh, yeah, where he passes out from seeing them all on the wall.
Isn't he like up? Yeah, he's up on the ceiling.
All of them are. They're all like in that big group, like crawling from side to side.
That's great. And so they end up, he like passes out and they put him in bed.
Yeah.
And then when he wakes up later, there's the webs all over
the room. It's all the same scene.
Yeah.
So Miles' dad comes to the door and he gives this impassioned speech where he's just like, I know you're avoiding me and you're not really, we're not talking right now, but you know, I believe in you and I have faith in you. And he gives this wonderful, very well-written speech. While Miles is just like, you know, tied to a chair.
That's why his mouth's webbed up. Yeah. They had to do that so he couldn't respond.
Yeah. Right. So the dad leaves and Miles sits there and he's contemplating and he figures it out. Like he figures out how to use the Venom Blast and he figures out how to turn invisible. And he goes back to Aunt May's house in Queens. And I do like the line where she's just like, took you long enough.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I thought it was interesting how they made the suit, too. He makes his own suit by spray painting a Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, he took a Spider-Man suit and spray painted it to how he wanted it.
Because I was wondering, I'm like, so maybe there was just a black version of the suit there.
Yeah, I mean, the space-time continuum is about to be torn apart.
Right.
But let's go ahead and make this suit look cool.
Yeah. Right. Did you get all the suits?
I mean, I saw a lot.
There was the new PS4 game suit. Mm-hmm. There was like the stealth. There's a stealth suit. There is the Secret Wars suit. Yeah. No black costume, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
but all of the suits that he has worn.
How about
worn.
The one with the cape? Because Peter B. Parker says no capes.
He was like, hey, look at this.
And they go and he goes, I think I found one with a cape.
And older Spider-Man's like, well played.
That's hilarious.
So the plan is they're going to go into this gala ball dressed as Spider-Man because everybody's dressed.
All the waiters are dressed as Spider-Man.
That scene with Mary Jane and the bread.
It was great. It was a great scene where Gwen's like, we got to go. And he was like, wait, I got to do this thing. And he talks to, so
he
Peter,
thinks like, of course it's obvious that he's Peter under this mask. And she thinks he's another waiter. She's right. Like, yeah, more bread.
Can we get more bread? And I'm sorry. I wasn't there to give you the bread that you need.
Yeah. Hilarious.
And Gwen's just like, we'll get the bread.
Yeah.
And then as they're walking away, she's like, are you kidding me right now? So they get down to where this collider is, and it's a massive brawl where they're fighting. Prowler's dead, but
Kingpin
and Doc Ock and Tombstone. So you've got all these villains they're fighting. They're gonna lose. They're losing, and then here comes Miles, I gotta tell you, this soundtrack kicked ass too.
It's a very cool soundtrack.
I like this soundtrack a lot.
Very rap heavy soundtrack. I mean, most all the songs, if you listen to the soundtrack, are rap. But it's cool. What? It's a...
Okay.
I listened to it after the movie, I'm like, it's all rap. Okay. But it's cool.
Yeah. And it's...
It fit with the tone of this movie. It's a very... I mean, that's the thing, is this movie, it's different than all the other Spider-Man movies, you know?
It's very
different. And so you're going to reach a different demographic. You're going to give these kids a hero to look up to, like we talked about.
Yeah.
But it's, like, cool for everybody. I mean,
Venom was the same way.
Yeah.
Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song sucked, though.
I mean, you have to realize that popular music nowadays is rap.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Yeah. So soundtracks used to have
rock acts,
Creed and, you know, whatever on them, but now it's like...
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, popular music is
Chad
rap.
Kroger and Josie
Scott. Josie
Scott.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2.
That's what I was...
Yeah. So Miles Morales turns the tide of the fight. They implant the spider drive... But they have to hit a certain button, and of course
this whole scene takes place in like a screensaver. It's
basically,
crazy,
and it looked awesome.
The universe is merging. There's stuff flying around everywhere. Yeah. It's a bananas.
It is bananas. So they start kicking back. They think they've won. They start kicking back the heroes to their.
Well, so Kingpin is trying to get Vanessa and his son, who he's lost in this universe.
Right.
He's trying to pull them in from a different one, and they're like phasing in and out to this universe. Like, where are we? What's happening here? And then Kingpin's fighting with Miles, and then Kingpin's about to kill Miles, just like in their universe.
But before we get there, like he has already sent back all of the spider people. So like they've
all right, one by one, he's letting them.
Right.
Yeah.
You get a good interaction. Like Gwen kind of says, I don't have like early in the movie. She's like, I don't have friends anymore because I don't trust, you know, the friendship. And in the comic books, Gwen and Miles are a thing.
Yeah.
Like they're a couple while they're on the same Earth. So they kind of hint at that. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely there. And then finally you get the interaction between Peter.
Spider-Ham gives him his mallet.
I love
his cartoon mallet.
Yeah, he was like, it'll fit in your pocket. Like, it was such a great scene. Yeah, because Spider-Ham is very Looney Tunes-esque. Yeah.
Totally.
So, I'm like, when he gives him the mallet, he's like, you'll like it. It'll fit right in your pocket.
I mean, in one scene,
can you float in the air? Do you smell a delicious pie? Yeah.
I mean, he even says, that's all, folks.
He does, which I thought
that was great.
And the one guy goes, can you say that?
Legally?
Yeah. What does he say when he was like, I'm standing right here? What was the line before?
Oh,
when
she sees Kingpin and she's like, what a pig.
Oh, yeah.
He's
that's
like,
right.
I'm right here.
Yeah. So we get the interaction between Peter and Miles, where Peter, like, Miles kind of tricks him and he beats him and he grabs very much
it's
the
a really
same
good
way.
Scene, the way that he drops him into the
yeah,
thing.
And he's like, what if I can't, like, what if Peter's saying, what if I go back and I mess it all up again? He's like, you won't.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a great moment.
And I say he drops somebody, drops him into the portal. So now we've got, it's Miles by himself, and he's going to go hit the green.
Penny, her dad robot has died.
But she's got the spider.
Yeah. There's a spider that powers it, so she has that now. But I mean, the robot died. It was another touching moment during the scenes, and then Noir goes back as well.
So that was also great.
Mm-hmm.
To his 19th. He's got a Rubik's Cube that he can't look at the colors.
I'm taking this with me.
He doesn't know what the colors are, so he's just like constantly trying to, because he sees everything in black and white. So now we've got this Peter's about to hit the button and he is intercepted by the Kingpin. And
who's
the
just
Kingpin,
like picking up cars and
yeah,
stuff.
The Kingpin is trouncing him. Like he is just beating the bejesus out and Miles never has a chance until he sees his dad like at this control panel. And the cool part is like this inside this collider, everything is wonky. Like it's just crazy pants, but things are where they're supposed to be. So like when his dad is at the control panel, like, that's where he's like the control panel is stationary and he sees him and he gets up and he beats the Kingpin and throws him into the green switch and it sets it all off and everything goes back to normal. Like everything fixes itself. And I do. And so like Miles is beaten up pretty good and he comes out and his dad's kind of walking around outside what's left of Alchemex.
The voice.
Oh my god, it was so great.
He's like, oh well, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And
love you, dude.
Yeah.
He's
like, oh
what?
My god. So good.
And he kind of points up and there's Kingpin who's webbed up.
Yeah.
You know.
Leaves him a little present.
And this
old
is
old school Spider-Man style.
Old school Spider-Man style. Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man written on his on a little note. And we get he's like, let me tell you about my origin. And we get the comic book origin again.
Yeah. I've been Spider-Man for 2 days.
2 days. Yeah. And he accepts the school and he's kicking ass in school and he meets Not Gonke in this version. And that's how it wraps up for the most part. There is a secret ending, an end credit sequence where you've got a little bit of credits. Actually, it's all the credits, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a mid and an end.
No. Was there a mid?
Yeah.
What was the mid?
The Stan Lee and Steve Ditko tribute.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What pops
sure.
Up.
Oh,
it,
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
really. A,
that's, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, the ending sequence is you hear a disembodied voice and you see it's a black screen and every, you know, they're showing exactly what happened. And there's this like hologram that says, look, I've developed this wrist thing for you where you can bounce from universe to universe and do what you have to do. And you see a hand come in and immediately I'm just like, oh yeah, it's Miguel O'Hara. Like it's Spider-Man 2099. Like that costume is very, very identifiable.
Right.
And he was like, okay, great. So we get to see Spider-Man 2099, which is a great, great costume. And he jumps into the 1966 universe.
Yes.
And so it's just like,
this is one of my favorite parts of the
this
entire
is,
movie.
This is
when
Lord,
he lands in that street, I'm like, they're going to do the pointing thing.
This
that's
is,
a
this
huge,
is Lord Miller
yeah.
all day.
But that's like one of the most popular memes of the Spider-Man is yeah. the two Spider-Men pointing at each other and they just point back and forth.
He's like,
at each
no,
other.
You're pointing. No,
and
I'm not pointing.
And
you're
put,
pointing.
They put 2099 in the animation style yeah. of 66.
Yeah.
But it's the 99 suit. And
right.
It's so funny.
And that's, you know, and he's like, I'm not pointing. You started pointing. I'm not, you know, it's a very funny ending sequence.
Now, I thought this was very similar to Deadpool going back and trying to fix his universes.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first part that Spider-Man decides to go back, 2099 visits, is 66, which is, like, it's made fun of all the time,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
Deadpool goes back and fixes origins. Like, I don't know. I thought that was... They kind of
see that.
They kind of stole it from that, but it's hilarious.
Yeah. No, and it's... And that's how it is. You get that yeah. nice little ending. Yeah. They want to do an all-female Spider-Woman, Spider-Women movie. So I'm assuming you will get Gwen Stacy, Jessica Drew, Mayday Parker, maybe Mary Jane.
I don't think so.
Penny Parker. Like, you'll get the female characters. Yeah. Black Cat, maybe. I don't know.
I would watch a movie with every single one of these Spider-Men in it.
I want Spider-Ham.
You want a Spider-Ham movie?
I want them all.
You know what they should do? Is they should do little 15-minute shorts.
Oh, that'd be great.
Of Spider-Ham in the beginning of these movies.
I mean, it's probably the just right amount of Spider-Ham, too.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would maybe get old after an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I mean. Like, I would take an individual of each one of these. Like, they're so interesting. And the short time they have with that quick little backstory and the comic book device for the origin and, you know, what you get. They're so interesting how they develop each one as their own thing, but it doesn't ever take away from Miles being his movie.
Right.
Yeah. It's like just the perfect balance, and it's so intriguing.
This may be my favorite Spider-Man movie ever made.
This is a perfect movie.
It was very well done.
Pretty close to perfect. I mean, like, right now it's sitting on 99% with one negative review.
Is it that one guy?
It's not.
Oh, all right.
How about that?
It's someone that said that the action sequences were all choppy and stop animation-y, which I completely disagree with, because when I saw the trailer, I thought everything was choppy. But then I'm like, oh, the action scenes, they sped it up to normal. The action was smoother in this movie. And then the, like, normal walking and talking was that stop motion style. But I'm like, oh, they speed it up during the action, so it's not annoying and choppy. Like,
right.
I honestly feel like that those trailers weren't the finished product, because I never felt like it was choppy. Like, I remember watching those trailers.
I mean, it's stylized.
Like,
I don't mean in a bad way, but I mean, I got used to it very quickly.
Yeah.
You just get used to it once you see it, because that was my biggest concern. Like, oh, it's this really great CG, but it's stop motion. Like, you don't have to do that with CG.
Right.
But, like, when you're in it and it's so good, like, it's just disappears. Your brain gets used to it.
Right.
And I think it's great. And then again, for the action sequences, it's smoother and you can follow it. But that's what the one negative review said. It was like, it's choppy animation. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I didn't feel that way at all.
Yeah. Nope. This is probably, I mean, MCU Spider-Man is really good.
Yeah.
This is.
A lot of people that have seen it early, like on Twitter, a lot of people are saying this is the best Spider-Man movie of all time.
I have a hard time debating that point.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
very good.
So. And that's what you want out of a Spider-Man movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we should probably go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, rate, review, subscribe. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or on Patreon if you want to kick in a little money at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. No idea what we're doing next.
We're off.
Wow. So but we'll figure it out. So until next time, the guru uses hypnotism to get people to commit suicide. Innocent say I keep a check. She was a bad, bad, nevertheless. Calling it quits now, baby, I'm a wreck. Crash at my place, baby, you're a wreck. Needless to say, I'm keeping a check. She was a bad, bad, nevertheless. Calling it quits now, baby, I'm a wreck. Crash at my place, baby, you're a wreck. Thinking in a bad way, losing your grip. Screaming at my face, baby, don't trip. Someone took a big L, don't know how that felt. Looking at you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.